One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Clifford and Mother Barber in the library.
Mom, what struck Dad all of a sudden?
Oh, he decided to drive over to San Rafael and have a talk with Elwood.
Oh, yeah.
Are those critical noises, Clifford?
I don't know, of course, not being a marriage counselor, but I don't think in-laws can patch up marital rifts with helpful little talks. Do you, Mom? Just my opinion. I offer it lightly in passing.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. If you sometimes eat more than you should, and who doesn't, you sometimes suffer with acid indigestion. Isn't that true? Or maybe you sometimes eat too fast or eat something that doesn't agree with you. All of these come under the heading of unwise eating, and the result can be an upset, uncomfortable feeling in the stomach. Acid indigestion. It can spoil a day or an evening, but it need not. That's right. I can tell you what thousands of folks depend on for relief. Alka-Seltzer. Yes, a glass of bubbling, sparkling Alka-Seltzer can give you the fast, effective relief you want. Have you feeling shipshape again in almost no time. Remember this simple little rule. Whenever acid indigestion causes distress, be wise. Alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. Chapter 9, Book 81. It's a gray, windy December afternoon here in Sea Cliff, San Francisco. The sort of day to spend at the fireside with a good book. Henry Barber searched through his library this noon, found nothing he wanted to read. Looked through Paul's library on the third floor, found nothing. And ended by sending Clifford to Claudia's house to see what could be found on Claudia's shelves. And now, 30 minutes later, Clifford is cutting across the driveway at the family home. He sees with surprise that his father's car is no longer in the garage and comes into the library with his stack of books.
Mom, where'd Dad go? Thought he wanted me to get him something to read.
Hmm? Oh, he's restless, Clifford. You mustn't mind. I think we both forgot he'd sent you on an errand.
Oh, fine. Well, okay, it doesn't matter. Where'd he go?
Oh, he suddenly decided to drive over to San Rafael and have a talk with Elwood.
Yeah.
Are those critical noises, Clifford?
Well, I don't know, of course, not being a marriage counselor, but I don't think in-laws can patch up marital rifts with helpful little talks. Do you, Mom? Just my opinion. I offer it lightly in passing.
Oh, it wasn't that, Clifford. He feels so sorry for Elwood, and I suggested he drive over and see him.
Yoo-hoo, where are you? In the library?
Mm-hmm.
Hazel, it must have come in the back way. Hi, we're in here.
I've got some good news for Father. Well, where is he?
Oh, Hazel, that's too bad. Your father's gone out for a little while.
Oh.
Ma'am, any time you've got good news, get here early with it, will you? We could have stood a little cheering up about an hour ago.
Clifford, what is it, Hazel?
Oh, a letter came from Pinky, our scullery boy at the lumber camp, and guess what fell out of it?
Well, let's see. A potato?
Oh, poor Pinky. You stop making fun of him, Cliff. He's having a perfectly dreadful time. Now, look, Mother. He enclosed this for Father. A money order for $26.50. A payment on his debt.
Well.
Why, Hazel, that much?
Yes, and I think that's pretty good. I really do. His first week's salary was only $35, and from what I can make of this letter, he really earned it, too.
Oh, this will please your father very much, Hazel.
$26.50. Hmm. The kid really shelled it out.
I think it was nearly every cent of his first paycheck. Listen to this. Higby Mills, Oregon Camp 2. He says, Dear Mom, enclosed find money order for Grandfather. Please take it over and get me a receipt.
Oh, he trusts nobody now.
He just wanted us all to know he was paying his debt. I was planning to send the whole $35, but my check, when I finally got it, looked like mice had nibbled on it. Government withholding, unemployment insurance, and Social Security for my old age, which I never expect to reach.
Oh, poor Pinky.
I took your advice, Mom, and didn't send that critical report on my bosses to Mr. Higby. But the only trouble is I forgot and left the report on my bunk. And now everybody's read it, and instead of being impressed that I'm a friend of the Higby family, they treat me as if I had a communicable disease, and nobody speaks to me except to yell orders to peel more potatoes or wash more dishes. A letter came from Eunice Higby today, and a few words of advice I asked her to pass on to her father seemed to have fallen on barren ground, because Mr. Higby said if I had any advice or complaints to pass them on to my immediate superior. Mom, my immediate superior is the guy who mopped the kitchen for 6 years before I got here. He isn't even bright enough to peel potatoes. His name is Ophie. And when I asked the cook who my immediate superior was, he said it was Ophie, by right of seniority. This makes a grim situation, which I'm sure Mr. Higby will rectify as soon as he visits Camp 2.
Oh, my.
Yes. He says, Ophie spends his time either reading comic books or giving me orders. And if I marry Eunice Higby, he will be the first man I fire. He is doomed right now, though he is pretty smug about having somebody to boss around and doesn't realize what a mistake he is making. Well, my hands are all soft and puffy from dishwater, and my fingers are cramped to the size of a potato knife, and it's hard to get them small enough to hold a pencil. I won't write any more except to say that looking back on it, working in Grandfather's garden was practically a pleasure, and he was a considerate and kindly boss, and give him my love.
Hazel, let's hear that last sentence again.
Isn't it wonderful? Mm.
Let me look over your shoulder and see it with my own eyes.
Read it.
Working in Grandfather's garden was practically a pleasure, and he was a considerate and kindly boss and give him my love. Yeah, it says so right there.
Isn't that nice?
Well, I like this part back here, too. My hands are all soft and puffy from dishwater.
Clifford.
Poor Pink. But it ain't honest to say he didn't have it coming.
He's a pretty good boy, after all.
Yes, indeed. And his grandfather's going to be so pleased, Hazel.
Where is Father, anyway?
Dad, he's trying to patch up a marriage with sheer desire and willpower.
Not really, Clifford. Your father suddenly felt very sorry for poor Elfold, alone in that house in San Rafael with the wreckage of a marriage. So he drove over to reassure him. He just wanted to let Elwood know he's always welcome.
I don't like to take you from your work, Elwood.
Oh, I'm not busy now, Father Barber. Well, let's go in and I'll show you what I did inside after Dr. Froschauer left.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was a mistake I made in the beginning to let that old man live here.
Yeah, but you were doing the best you could, Elwood. Let's not talk about the past. Oh, how very attractive, eh?
Well, I haven't much to do in the evening. I waxed these floors last night.
Oh, you're your own housekeeper, eh?
Oh, sure. I want to show you how we fixed up our bedroom. Teddy was going to get some different curtains in here, something brighter, you know. But she never got around to it. But even so, you ought to see this room in the morning on a sunny day. It's beautiful. Yes, sir, the sun comes pouring in.
Yeah, charming bedroom, Elroy.
Yes. But what I wanted to show you mainly... Oh, follow me, right this way. After Dr. Froschauer left...
How did you manage that, Elroy?
Oh, I kind of maneuvered the old fella in with his daughter down in Los Angeles. That is, I got him in a boarding house until her new home is built. It was all right. There weren't any hard feelings. He understood.
Yeah.
It was pretty hard for a bride to have a stranger in the house, you know. Well, besides her husband, bridegroom is practically a stranger in a way. I can see how Teddy felt.
Yeah, yeah.
Look in here. Now, this was the old doctor's room. After he left, I sold the chairs and bed and got this new furniture. Then I papered the walls the other night.
Oh, yourself?
Oh, sure, yeah. I had an uncle back in Wisconsin, Uncle Gerd. He's a paper hanker. I worked with him one summer, so I'm pretty handy. Do you like that design?
Yeah, most unusually attractive room, Elbert.
Teddy's never seen the room the way it is now. I tried to pick out a design she'd like. If she ever...
Yes.
I thought if she could have a room of her own, like her own room in the family home. Well, you know, when you come home tired from a day's duty in a hospital, anybody wants to be quiet for a while and just rest and read. In case she ever comes back.
Yes. Oh, this is merely a rift, Elwood. The first year of marriage.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The other night when you were here for your sore tooth, you know, when I told you that Teddy had left me?
Yes, Elwood. Yeah?
I'm afraid I didn't come quite clean with your father, Barbara. I didn't tell you all of it, but I think you should know this. Teddy, that night... Teddy said she was just going away for a week, Father Barber. It was to be 1 week. But a lot had happened before that, and I packed all of her things.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Because That was the only thing I could do and keep my self-respect, much as I love her.
I see her.
I told her not to come back until she could come back wholeheartedly and be my wife. So you might say I really sent her away, and maybe you shouldn't blame her too much. All I know is that under the same circumstances, I'd have to do the same thing all over again.
I have never known a woman who didn't admire strength in a man, Elwood. Now, we're not going to despair about this rift, my boy. It has a look of finality about it, but I've lived a long time, and I've seen many an ending that was, that was really a beginning.
Father Barber, I'm glad you came over here to see me. I was beginning to lose hope a little. Nights, I think about divorce.
We're not going to lose hope, Elwood. Not for a minute. And divorce? No, no. There's never been a divorce in the Barber family, and there never will be, my boy. You can count on that.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Ladies, you'll want to try Bactine because it's new, different, and we believe you'll say it's the finest family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide you've ever used. Bactine has amazing germ-killing powers, yet it is so gentle to skin, so fresh and clean-smelling. Bactine does not sting, it does not stain, does not burn, but it is powerful, and it does protect against the danger of infection. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist and try it at our risk. When someone in the family has a cut or scratch, bathe it with Bactine. When the itching and burning of athlete's foot causes discomfort, bathe the feet with Bactine. When you're caring for the sick or preparing food, make sure your hands are clean. Bathe them with Bactine. These are but a few of Bactine's many, many household uses. Get a bottle of Bactine and read how this remarkable product can be helpful to you every day. All we ask you to do is try your first bottle of this wonderful new family antiseptic made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. If you don't say Bactine is the finest family antiseptic, that it has more helpful uses in your home than any antiseptic you've ever used, return the bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and we'll give you double your money back. Yes, double your money back if you don't like it. Your drugstore has Bactine in 30 and 70 cent size bottles. Be sure you ask for Bactine, Bactine. Here's the family again.
You come to see us now, Elwood. Anytime you're in San Francisco, you're welcome at Seacliff.
I'll try to get over there one of these days, Father Barber. You'll never know how much your visit has meant to me.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you've ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. Bactine. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Paul gets in touch with Teddy. Chapter 10, Book 81. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.